This afternoon, we'd like to continue the fellowship on message number 4. If we could read that together on the Nazarite vow, okay? That would be good. Samuel and Samson, a positive pattern and a negative example of a Nazarite. Well, I'm so glad that we could gather again to see the Lord's Word. And the Lord is always faithful in His Word to give us the examples, both on the positive side and on the negative side. For what reason? For our learning, for our lesson, that we could be saved from any kind of negative things, that the Lord's recovery could go on. Eventually, Samuel became a person that was instrumental in turning the age. Because of who he was, one age stopped, and another age was brought in. Today, we have the opportunity. We have the privilege to be the corporate Samuel. We can end the age. Hallelujah! And bring in another age. Talk about making history. Have you ever read in the history books this, that a group of people could bring the age of the kingdom onto this earth? How about John Records? How about you, brother, from Arlington? Wouldn't you like part of this history?
Hallelujah!
Isn't life meaningful? The purpose of our life is to bring in another age. What about that resume? I brought in another age. Marvelous. We are. We could be the corporate Nazarites. This is not something that is something dreamed up. No, this is according to God's word. The Lord wants to end the age, but he needs a people. He needed Samuel. He needed Daniel. He needed John the Baptist. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ to stop one age and to bring in another age. And this is so unique. Brother Dan alluded to this on the opening word on Saturday morning, that we, cooperators with God, could become the corporate Nazarite that would fulfill God's need at that time. And God's desire is that this age would end. And God's desire is that the next age would begin. What is that age? That is the age of the kingdom, eventually to bring in the eternal age. Now we realize that as young people, you're probably secretly hoping that you could have a few more years to be on this earth. But actually, the longer you're on this earth, the more you realize we want this age to end. This age is not getting any better. It's getting much worse. The only hope for this age is not politics. The only hope for this age is a corporate Nazarite. Amen. We could all be the corporate Samuels. I have to echo the brother's speakings this morning and fellowship. After so many testimonies of the young people this morning, our heart was surely warmed to see that the Lord surely has a bright future in this generation. Consequently, we have two examples here before us on Samuel and Samson, that we could stay on the right track. That we would not be, go off. But we could be, for our whole life, until we see the Lord, we could be the Samuel to bring the Lord back. Well, I'd like to just start off. Maybe we could read the outline. I'll read some of it together with you. Samuel, a positive pattern of a faithful Nazarite. His origin was the moving God with his answer to the prayer of Samuel's mother. Hannah was praying. She needed a son. Actually, the Lord was motivating her to pray. Hannah needed a son, but God needed a Nazarite. So this was God's secret doing. In Hannah's prayer, Hannah cooperated by praying for a son. The Lord gave her a son, and this one was one who could meet God's need at that time. And that need, you know, at that time, God was poor, quote, poor, especially in the matter of the priesthood. He only had Eli and his sons, and the situation with the priesthood at that time was very much degrading. So God was poor in his priesthood. So he was anticipating, he was planning for a Nazirite to come in, and this is Samuel, okay? Samuel was by nature a Levite born of one of the descendants of the great rebel Korah. Wow. Even Korah's descendant could become a Nazirite. These two verses in 1 Chronicles 6 and Numbers 16 is marvelous. You have to read the story there. Samuel was one with God on the earth. He began to minister as the acting God, the representative of the very God in heaven to rule over his people on the earth. Now, in section D, we see five statuses of Samuel. And I just want you to underline these words. In number one, Samuel ministered as a Nazirite. So what was he? His first status was he was a Nazirite, consecrated to God, absolutely for God's fulfillment of his economy, a volunteer to replace any official and formal serving ones of God. So Samuel, in his first status, was a Nazirite as a volunteer, consecrating absolutely for God and the fulfillment of his economy. Second, Samuel ministered as a God-honoring, God-pleasing priest. Samuel was not a priest who was in degradation, but he honored God and he pleased God, to replace the stale and degraded priesthood at that time represented by Eli and his sons. Third, Samuel ministered as a prophet. He ministered as a prophet to what? To speak the word of God when the word of Jehovah was rare and visions were not widespread. He was a Nazirite, he was a priest, and he was a prophet. Then Samuel ministered as a judge in the reality of the kingship, to replace the judging of the people by the old priesthood. Samuel, in these four statuses, was a Nazirite, a priest, a prophet, and a judge. And then, on page 20, Samuel ministered as a man of prayer, praying for God's elect to be kept in the way that God's desire of his will in them might be fulfilled. This one young man, Samuel, had these five statuses. The statuses of a Nazirite, of a priest, of a judge, of a prophet, and of a man of prayer. And actually, Samuel was instrumental in bringing in the kingship. After Samuel actually appointed the kings of Israel. So this young man, Samuel, right, in his five statuses, was so much used by God because he volunteered to do so many things on God's behalf, fulfilling his economy at that time. I would like to, at this point of time, in E, summarize it by giving you 10 points that Samuel experienced, we would call as lessons of life. In Samuel's experience in his human life, he realized something, and he experienced something. And so I'm going to ask David to write it down, just 10 items here for you. This would help you in your notes. If you read the portions, by the way, I hope that all the young people would vow you have to read the Bible. I know this is a given, but sometimes it's easy to read other things. Whether you read the Bible like this or in your PDA or online, you have to have a plan to read the Bible every day, every day. Don't think that we are above the Bible. No. The Bible should be in our hands every single day. Actually, this is a real Nazirite. This is the way to stay away from the earthly wine, is to have the Bible in our hands every day. Okay, first thing I'd like David to write down is Samuel cooperated. Okay, Samuel cooperated. So his mother prayed, Hannah prayed for Samuel. Then his mother gave Samuel or lent him to Jehovah. But Samuel cooperated. Without Samuel's cooperation, Hannah couldn't do that much. Right? She was limited. So Samuel, number one, cooperated. And this is shown in chapter 1, verse 28, where it says that when Hannah brought Samuel to Eli and to the Lord's house, it says he worshiped Jehovah there. So even at a young age, Samuel cooperated by worshiping Jehovah. Then Samuel also, in his youth, had favor with God and man. He learned something. He knew how to have favor both with God and with man. And if you compare this with Luke 2:52, it's strikingly similar in that the Lord also, in his youth, had favor with God and man. Samuel grew in his human virtues, and he was so pleasing to God as well as pleasing to man. I'm afraid sometimes as young people, we attempt to be pleasing to God, yet our pleasing to God, we inadvertently are unpleasing to man by our mannerisms, by different things. You know, sometimes there in the full-time training there, sometimes some young brothers come in. I notice them, they come into the meetings. They're such in a rush to get to the meeting that an older sister is right behind them. They run into the meeting hall and the door slams right before this older sister. This is not in favor with God or with man. So I happened to see that young brother when he came up the stairs, and I asked him, "Brother, didn't your mother ever teach you any manners? That when an older sister comes into the meeting, you should open the door for her." This doesn't mean that we practice certain kind of this and that and this and that. No, this is proper. This is proper. Why would you allow the door to close in front of an older sister? You just let her. And if she needs some help up the stairs, help her. Samuel grew in favor with God and with man. You know, we all have the Lord within us, but people don't see the Lord, they see us. And sometimes, maybe by seeing us, they may not believe in the Lord. This is why we need to be separated as Nazarites. We had some experiences that, you know, I would encourage us. You know, we have such a wealth of older saints in the Lord's recovery. And as young people, if I was you, I would take advantage of them. Just to take advantage of them, of all the things that they have learned from the Lord. Wasn't too long ago that we asked the young sisters in the church. We fellowship with them. We had them make dinner for all the older sisters in the church. And they invited them to a dinner. You know, of course, these young sisters, they weren't that experienced in making dinner. That's okay. The older sisters didn't mind. They just were thrilled to be invited to dinner, hosted by these younger sisters. So these younger sisters prepared something for them. But the main thing is that these younger sisters just sat there and were able to have dinner, to be infused with so many things that these sisters have learned in life. Not only so, but even to this day, these older sisters are praying for them. If you want the older saints to pray for you, invite them for dinner. But make sure your dinner is also not, they don't remember the dinner, they would remember the fellowship, right? Why not? We have such a wealth. These sisters, we encourage them to be in this kind of experience, this kind of fellowship. And this led to some of these younger sisters to go Saturday mornings to help the older saints to clean their homes. Just to clean their home. What a cherishing. Don't you think when these older saints received the younger sisters into their house, wow, they would just never forget. They will pray for you forever. This is really the case. They were in favor with God and with man. This does not just exclude the brothers. The brothers can also be creative and to help things around them. I hope that none of the brothers would spend half your morning in bed on Saturday morning. This is not the life of a Nazarite. Actually, Samuel learned how to get up early in the morning. Why? Because that's when Jehovah called him. Jehovah, another point, that Samuel was not a night person. He was an early morning person. You notice the record. It says early in the morning, Jehovah called Samuel. Early in the morning. That means you have to get some sleep at night. Don't take the college life, where life begins at 10 p.m. and you don't have morning revival. No, that's not the way. You have to go to bed on time, right? That you could have a proper time with the Lord early in the morning. Well, early in the morning is open to interpretation, but at least in the morning, it shouldn't be p.m., right? It should be in the morning. Oh, there's a lot of feeling, you know. Sometimes some of the young people, the hardest thing is to get up early in the morning. That's why I'm so glad we have conferences, you know, where we have to have meetings early in the morning. I've noticed that on the college campuses, I don't know, Marty, if you notice this, but or Dave, I've noticed on the college campuses over the last 20 years that the college activity really begins about 10:30 or 11 a.m. in the morning. Wow, crowds of people come, crowds of students. 8 o'clock, 7:45, only the overcomers are there. Okay. So he was in favor with God and with man, right? Then, next, Samuel learned the lesson of life, of being under the custody of Eli. He was under the custody of Eli. And this is in 2:11 and 3:1 of 1 Samuel. It's very interesting there. It says that Samuel ministered to Jehovah, but before Eli. So he learned something from Eli. Yes, Eli was in a situation of degradation, but he was there ministering to Jehovah before Eli. He learned something from Eli. And what he learned was to take care of the things of the ark and take care of the things of the house of God. So he was there. What does this mean? That we should always have a learning and open spirit. We shouldn't think that we know everything. No. Right? We surely don't. But if we have a spirit of learning, we could always be under someone. This is very good for our learning, right? We should never think that we are graduated, that we have learned this, we have learned that. No, 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 no. To be under the learning, to be, even though we minister to the Lord, but we are before, we are under the learning of the older brothers among us. This is a great blessing. This comes back to the time, or yesterday, last night's meeting, on the matter of submission, to be under. I would say that this is a great, great thing, especially among the brothers, right? It is easy to become ambitious, etc., etc., but we should always keep ourselves under, right, the learning. We are always a learner, right? A learner. Learning the things of life. Don't think that the things of life can be learned that easily. No, they take time after time, experience after experience. We don't want that experience truncated prematurely. We like to be those who are learning. I was just considering a little bit when I first got saved and first met the Lord in the Lord's recovery. The first brother's house I moved in was with Brother Dan. I lived in the basement there, Brother Dan's house, and I was under his learning. So many years later, Dan, 30 years later, how many years is it? 72? Since now, that's how many years is that? 34. I'm still learning. I'm so happy. I'm just so happy that I could be under the brothers, right? Actually, it's just very good. We're just so happy. Anyway, that Samuel had a learning spirit. I am just so happy. I am just so thankful that the Lord has put so many brothers, right, that I could be under. I just feel so blessed. I know it may be humorous, but I have that feeling within. I am so happy to be under, right? Under what the Lord has given. The Lord has given us certain ones, and we are so grateful that we could learn. Okay, then another lesson that Samuel learned is he understood the Lord's word. He was one who was in the Lord's word every morning. And this is the verse here in Psalm 119, 9 through 11. If we like to be those who are kept pure, If we like to be those who don't sin against the Lord, even in our heart or in our mind, we like to have the word dwelling in us richly. We cannot emphasize this enough. We like the word to dwell in us. Today, the bottom line is that everything else tries to take the time away from the word of God. Whether it's on the internet or whether it's in a book, whatever it is, it attempts to take away our time and our appetite from the word of God. I believe many of you know that there's a site, readhisword.com. I hope that you would take advantage of that. It's a custom way to read the word. For example, you could put it in, you could go on the site, and you could put in tomorrow's date and put in December 31st, and it will plan for you exactly how much you need to read to finish the New Testament. It's very good. And sometimes it would even remind you, if you like it, to remind you. This is a very practical way to read, right? We hope that we could be under the Lord speaking, but we cannot be under the Lord speaking until we're reading the Word. The Lord speaks only from His Word and through His Word. Sometimes we wonder, why don't I have the Lord speaking? Then we realize we haven't touched the Bible for the last few weeks. The Lord speaking is from the Lord's Word. His spoken word comes from His written word. They're not separate, right? The Lord speaks to us through His word. I guarantee you, when you open the word, especially early in the morning, just to take a few verses to pray, read the word, that word will come back to you and nourish you. For those of us who are a little older, past the college years, serving ones, not only do we need a time with the Lord in the morning with His Word, but also we need an afternoon time. This is the secret of going to your home meetings in the evening. If you don't have an afternoon time with the Lord, you may not want to have the saints come to your home in the evening because you may not be in that good of a shape. So when you come home from work, you come home from, you have to have a time with the Lord, right? Even a little time to turn our heart back to the Lord. Then we could receive all the saints, or we could visit a number of saints. This is very important to have a time. The word is not just limited to morning revival. I would even say a time in the afternoon, a little time in the afternoon to turn our heart to the Lord makes a great difference, right? Okay, then, also, I mentioned the matter of the early morning, that Samuel knew God's heart. He knew God's heart. And the Lord says in 2:35 that He would raise up a priest to do according to what is in my heart. So through the word, Samuel was one who knew God's heart. Of course, today we have the ministry, we have the life study, we have the footnotes. We have the interpreted word. It is so good that we can know God's heart. Then, in Samuel's learning, he also received Jehovah's appearing through the word. Jehovah's appearing. This is so precious that the Lord would appear to us. What an enjoyment, what an experience. As we're in the word, the Lord just appears to us within. That appearing, wow, that appearing is just so exquisite. Right? Of course, the Lord appears to us day by day, every time we come to the Word. But there are times that the Lord comes to us in account of a special way in His appearing. These times are marvelous, okay? So, then, Samuel had a spirit of submission. He had a spirit of submission. He was not rebellious in the whole record of his life. He was not disobedient to God, and he did not usurp the priesthood. He had a spirit of submission. Then Samuel, he also learned something in his youth. He learned that even though the priesthood was degraded, this became a warning to him, not a weakening. He was in such an environment where the priesthood was degraded, yet this became a warning to him. Samuel, through the example that was in front of him, was warned by that example not to take this way. We may be in a situation, it may be degraded, it may be deteriorating, But that can be used as a warning to us, right? Not a weakening to us, but a strong warning never to take this way. We would not go the way of the sons of Eli, right? We would always take the way of God's word. We would always take God's way. So this is a big matter, right? We'll get more into this as we go along. Then finally, Samuel was there as one who changed the age. He didn't do it by revolution. He did it by revelation. God's word came to him in a way of revealing, and Samuel, through that revelation, he was instrumental in changing the age, right? Samuel did not revolt, but he received God's revelation. And through the receiving of God's revelation, Samuel was very instrumental in turning the age. Okay? Okay, and if we come back to E now, I'll just read these portions here. Samuel was a man according to God's heart, a copy, a duplicate of God's heart. God's heart was duplicated in him. Okay? Then how about we have brothers and sisters read alternately, 1 through 6. Amen. Samuel's being and God's heart were one. Okay? Brothers, God's
mind was his consideration. He had no other thought, consideration, or anything.
Sisters? Amen. Samuel is such a positive pattern to us of one who is a Nazarite, right? Absolutely for God, consecrated to God, as one who is a priest, going to God with man, and going from God with God to man, right? He was going to God with man. And then from God, he brought God to man. So Samuel was such a person, right? Such a pleasing and God-honoring priest. Samuel also spoke as a prophet. Samuel was a judge, and Samuel was a man of prayer. We could spend a lot of time on this matter with Samuel. We're so happy that Samuel could be such a positive pattern. But let me go ahead and cover also another Nazarite, and his name is Samson. I know we all appreciate Samson, especially the brothers maybe, because I think there's something in us that relates to killing 1,000 men with a jawbone, right? I can do that. I can do that. I wish I was Samson. Sometimes we have the feeling that we're Samson and we do all these things and we catch 100 foxes. He caught 100 foxes. It's hard even to catch one. He caught 100. And then he had the way to tie their tails together. I just don't see how. And he could tear out a lion. Wow, Samson. Superhero, right? Superhero, Samson, the superhero. Well, we have to see that he was a Nazarite. His origin, I'm reading here in A, was a miracle initiated by the appearing of the angel of Jehovah. His mother was also, right, barren. And the angel appeared. Samson came forth. He was sanctified in his mother's womb to be a Nazarite. Right? The angel of Jehovah told Samson's mother exactly what she should do. And the prescription that the angel gave Samson's mother was the prescription of being a Nazarite. He grew up and was clean and pure according to God's ordination. He was empowered by the Spirit of God as the holy economical spirit. But he is an illustration of one who moved in the spirit of power, but not in the spirit of life. In other words, with Samson, we can see that the spirit of Jehovah rushed upon him, but not in the spirit of life. Samson was very powerful, yet with him we cannot see anything of life. Then F is a real lesson to us. Samuel also saw this situation. Samson failed. Why? He failed in not contacting God and indulging in sex. The first thing that Samson failed in was not contacting God. The day that we have in not contacting God, we have to be careful. Because that day could be led into something else tragic and terrible. We have to be those who contact God every day. We just have to make a vow. We feel like it, we don't feel like it, we have to contact God every day. If it's hard for us at the beginning, you grab a companion. You grab a companion to open the Word together, right? It's very good to start off with a companion. You can call Brother Ricky, right? You can call David. Call the brothers in the morning. Pray, read with the brothers. You have a companion. You are touching and you are contacting God. This becomes your security. This becomes your insulation for the whole day. Samson was not genuine in seeking for a spouse. Rather, his contacting of women was to indulge his lusts. This became a very, very tragic situation with Samson. He did not contact God, which means that he did not contact God's word. And so what happened was he became one who contacted women in the way of his lusts. Yet he still was a Nazarite. We have to be careful that even we could volunteer to be a Nazarite. We could consecrate and vow this weekend to be a Nazarite. But this requires that every day we need to contact the Lord. And every day we need to stay away from this matter. You will find out in your reading that Brother Lee, when he first began to serve, I think it was his first visit to Brother Watchman Nee in Shanghai or in one of the cities there. Brother Watchman Nee told him that in serving the Lord, we as brothers must be very careful that we would not be in a situation with a female privately in a room, right? Especially if the room has no doors and no windows. We have to be very careful as serving us. No doors, no windows, no wait, no windows. I'm thinking about John chapter 20. We need the Lord to come. Amen. As the breath of life. Amen. As the Spirit to save us from all these things, right? We have to be saved. But Brother Lee said that he passed this on to us, and we heard it a number of times, that we should not be in a situation in a room with a member of the opposite sex. This saves us. This matter saves us. You may say we don't have any regulations in the church, but we do have some inner regulations. And this inner regulation would not allow us to do that. You know, brothers and sisters, you're not obligated to give your email to anybody. If Paul would ask you for your email, you're not obligated to do that, right? Or an IM address. If you're a sister, a brother comes up to you at this conference and likes you and wants your email address, you don't have to give it to him. The brothers are not going to require that you give your email address for the sake of so-called blending. Oh, I want to blend with you. I want to make sure I don't blend with you in your locality. So when we exchange IMs, no. You have no obligation to do that. I found out recently that a young brother and sister, they got married about a year ago. He was in college. And after they passed through the training, they got married. And he said, this sister was very impressive. When he was in college, he noticed her. He came up to her one day and asked her for her email address. She said, I do not give email addresses to brothers. He goes, whoa. Then his next thought was, if I ever marry a sister, I want to marry one like that. Not the other way around. We think if we don't give our email, if we're not nice, if we're not these kind of things, then no one will love us. No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. All the serving ones know. You're not obligated, right? And this brother eventually, it was so good. He was just praying. He was desperate. He was praying before the Lord. He thought he blew it for his whole life. This sister had a forgiving heart. They ended up in the training. They graduated. And now they're married, right? Marvelous. But she made it very clear to him, no. I'm not that type of person. I'm a Nazarite. I have made a vow to the Lord. I have made a vow to my Savior. This is not, you know, how Samson fell? He saw with his eyes. He saw a woman. So I would say, brothers, we have to guard our eyes. We have to protect our eyes. Today, you don't have to just walk on the streets of Chicago. You just close your bedroom door and look at your screen. And all kinds of things come in. This is terrible. The eyes can become the gateway to the indulgence of lust. This is terrible. Not genuine. You know, we have seen this before and we have heard this before. Sometimes a sister is talking to her brother because she likes him, not knowing that this brother doesn't really like her. But he's just using her to make another sister jealous. Don't you think this happens? And this also happens vice versa. Do you want to be like that? Do you want to be used like that? No. Brothers and sisters, our contact with one another is impurity. Many of us have brothers and sisters who are siblings in the flesh, right? If Ricky was my sister, I wouldn't walk around Ricky at the meeting with my sister like this, right? Or like this. We would, you know, not usually, right? We're just not. She's my sister, but she's not really my sister. She's only my sister when she acts good. If she acts bad, she's not my sister. We treat one another as impurity in every way. Right? This is a great matter, and this was the cause of Samson's failure. This is a big thing. We have to be so careful. You know, in the reading, you also read... Not only do we have, Brother Lee put something there about the brothers, about the indulgence, but he also has a little portion in there about sisters, about how the sisters need to be properly attired and properly clothed and clothed with modesty. We don't have a regulation on how you should dress, but the Lord inwardly regulates us. The Lord inwardly regulates us in every way. Before you put on something, before you walk out of the house, both brothers and sisters, we should pray, Lord, are you happy with what I'm wearing today as a Nazarite? Does my clothes, does my attire affect me as a Nazarite? Does it represent me as a Nazarite? If it doesn't, we change. The principle of clothing is the principle of covering. Brother Nee gave us this instruction many, many years ago, and it's in the writings. to be uncovered for a brother or a sister is really terrible, especially for a sister. And this is why so many of us as serving brothers, we are so concerned about all the blog sites there today. Facebook, Zanga, MySpace, especially if you young sisters are on there, you uncover yourself by telling your life story. It's an uncovering. It's not only an uncovering to one person, it's an uncovering to the whole earth. We may not think it's just innocent, it's just this, it's just that. We don't know who is looking at those things. Why would we uncover ourselves in this way? It's when we uncover ourselves in this way, we just open ourselves for what? We just open ourselves for something that may come in that is not positive at all, right? So we have to be so careful. We just have to be so careful. We're not saying use it, don't use it. We're not in that realm. But we are in the realm of prayer. You just pray before the Lord. In everything, we have to be covered. To tell you the truth, the news, even our experience, has too many incidents of people looking at these sites. And they are not nice ones. They have a very, very evil intention. You may think this is just something that is fun. You may think this is something that is innocent, but the other party that is looking at it does not think that way at all. They have an evil intention. If it was up to the enemy, he would take all of our lives. Because if he can get rid of the generation of Nazarites, then he may have won. This is why we need to do everything to guard ourselves. Yes, the Lord guards us, but we have to do everything to also be covered and be guarded in every way. We shouldn't risk anything, right? Especially on the internet. It's foolish to put your life out there. It's foolish to be uncovered, right? The principle is the more covering, the better. That's why it's good to be in Chicago. Pretty soon, in a couple months, right, brothers? The weather will get cold. Everybody gets covered. All you see is eyes, a nose, and a mouth. We only get to see the pictures there in the LA Times. We're in Southern California. It doesn't get that cold. I wish we got a storm, a snowstorm there, so all the beachgoers would get all covered up. It's the principle of covering. Anyway, Samson contacted this female because of his eyes. Coming back to the brothers, we have to be so careful. You have to be so careful what sites you watch. Sometimes, consciously or unconsciously, that site kills you. It kills your appetite for the Word of God. It kills your appetite for the meeting. The only site you should be on is that causes you to have God as your exceeding joy. I hope that you would have this song. Oh, may a clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart. Holy, set a fire. With spirit strong and master's they'll press on to consecrate God's goal. New Jerusalem, hallelujah. Maybe you can make a recording of that and put it on your computer. Anytime you get tempted, hit that button. Oh, may, right away you turn to your spirit. I'm a Nazarite. Amen. If you don't have it on your computer, call Dennis. You sing it together. Why not? Cell phones are not to jabber with one another. Cell phones are to minister Christ to one another. Amen. How about John, you and I call one another. John, oh, may a clear controlling vision of. And that's all we need to do. We hang up the phone. Wow, we're both refreshed. If brothers Text message, a brother? Oh, may a clear, controlling vision. You shouldn't have it in your bio class, but maybe it comes on and it's accidentally on. And you look at it, oh, wow, you just remember. That's right, a clear, controlling vision. That little word may preserve you for that meeting tonight. Why not? If the world uses all kinds of means to distract us, we can use all kinds of means to pursue the Lord. In a proper way, right? I hope that our screensavers, our laptops, could have all these marvelous songs on there. This would help preserve us. Okay? So you will see that, you will read that in the portions. This is a very, very example of Samson, a negative example of Samson being Nazirite. Although he had been empowered, I'm reading from F2, he had been empowered by God. He was damaged to the uttermost because of his indulgence in lust. Ultimately, Jehovah left him, and he came to a miserable ending. Oh, Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, no matter what, never leave me. Never leave me, Lord. I don't want to be in a situation where you would leave me, and my ending would be miserable. I like to be one like Samuel, who was a Nazirite, giving myself to you day by day, pursuing with my companions, being under the word, right? Being under the custody of the older ones, learning the lessons, having a time with the Lord every single day. I hope when we vow, we would make a vow in a very practical way to have a time with the Lord every single day. You may wake up late one morning, but even on the way to school as you're walking, you can say, oh Lord Jesus, right now, I love you. That's the beginning. You just have a time with the Lord there. You just have a time with the Lord. Don't think that because you missed it, you missed everything. No, you can still have a time. But you should try your best to have a time as soon as you get up. If you're a procrastinator, you wake up late, wake up a little early. Develop the habit. Develop the habit of having a time with the Lord every single day. You will see it will make a great difference in your Nazirite life. A little bit of time every day. You know, the Lord comes to us little by little, step by step. A little bit of time every day makes a great difference. In my last remaining minutes, with Samuel as the Nazirite, it's very interesting that in Numbers chapter 6, it concludes with this portion. It talks about all the dealings that the nation of Israel faced, and then it talks about the Nazirite vow. Then the concluding sentences, or the concluding verses in chapter 6, speaks about the verses we read. What is this? We have Jehovah blessing us and keeping us. We have Jehovah making his face shine upon us and be gracious to us, and we have Jehovah lifting up his countenance upon us and giving us peace. What is this? This is the blessing of the dispensing triune God in his divinity, right? And with his divinity coming into us day by day. Brothers and sisters, the triune God himself wants to be our blessing. The whole world today is looking for other kinds of blessing. We had a verse in last night's meeting. We didn't read it, but I'm going to ask Ricky to read this. And this is in Ecclesiastes 10:19. And this is what the world is going for. I've used this verse to preach the gospel at times, but I want Ricky to read it. This is what the world is going after. Go ahead. Talk about Western society, there it is. There's nothing new under the sun. You have wine, you have laughter, and you have money being the answer for everything. Actually, what this ends up in is vanity. This is a life of vanity. We don't want to have a life of vanity. We want to have a life of reality by having a life always under the dispensing of the divine Trinity, always having the blessing of the divine Trinity. Oh, we like to be those blessed by the triune God. And as a Nazarite, we have the standing, the ground, the position to be blessed by God himself. What is our blessing? Our blessing is not this or that. It's not material. Our blessing is God. My blessing is God. This year earlier, I went back to my hometown. I grew up in a small village in Hawaii. And when you included the tourists, it was about 150 people. We only have one post office. We only have one gas station. And we had one grocery store. And it's still there today, with pineapple fields all the way around. Well, there's a few more houses there that I don't recognize, but everything else I recognize. Oh, yeah, there's one baseball field. That's all we had. That's my hometown. Wahiwa. That's where I live, Wahiwa. Right? Those of you from Hawaii, you know where that is. It's in the inside. I had to go back there this year, earlier this year. I went there. I was there walking around my hometown, remembering this, remembering that. Some of my cousins still live in the area there. At a certain point in time when I was there, I was just worshiping the Lord. Even though it is there, it's a middle pipe, we're a few miles from the ocean, it's beautiful, everything's beautiful. You don't need a jacket for anything there. Everything's lovely, everything's beautiful. Yet, when I was there, I had no God. But I'm so glad I'm living in smoggy Southern California. Because why? I have the triune God as my... I would much rather have the triune God as my blessing in smoggy Southern California. You know, the young people, I've told some of the young people this before, the young people from Southern California know, we do have a saying in Southern California that you can count the stars in the sky, the moon and a few others, that's all you can see. Everything else is smoggy, sorry to say. But anyway, this is where the Lord put us. And I was so happy that I was there. That in my late teenage years and the time right before college, the Lord came to me and I got saved in the Lord's recovery. And I was there. And all these years, even without my knowing it, I've just been under the blessing of the divine Trinity. Well, this is a marvelous point here. I would just take a few minutes to go through it. That in number six, we have this blessing of the divine Trinity. This is the eternal blessing of the triune God. We see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all blessing us. The Father, Jehovah, blesses us and keeps us. We're blessed with Himself step by step and little by little. Brothers and sisters, every time we open the Word, we can be under the blessing of the triune God Himself. Why? Because the Lord speaks in His Word. And actually, we see the Lord face to face in His Word. This is why we love the Word of God. The Word is marvelous. So the Father blesses us by giving Himself to us in His Trinity, step by step, little by little. The Lord doesn't give Himself to us all at once, but every day, morning by morning, day by day, the Lord gives Himself to us, right? This is the way He blesses us. And how does He keep us? It says, bless you and keep you. I love this portion. He keeps us in every way and in every aspect in His love. And He keeps us in every way and in every aspect in His power. We're blessed and we're kept by God the Father. How are we kept? Well, in John 17, it says that we're kept in the Lord's name. And also in John 17, it says that we are kept from the evil one. So the Father's blessing to us and the Father's keeping power, on one hand, He keeps us in His name. On the other hand, He keeps us from the evil one. This is the blessing of the triune God to us. We like to pray every day, oh Lord, keep me in your name today. Oh Lord, keep me from the evil one. This is the Lord's blessing, and this is the Lord's keeping power. It just reminded me of Song of Songs chapter 8, where it says the seeking one there, she asked if she would be a seal on the Lord's heart and on the Lord's arm. She didn't trust in herself. She wanted to be so close to the Lord. She asked, Lord, I just want to be a seal on your heart and a seal on your arm. In other words, keep me always in your love and keep me in your strength. I don't have the strength to live the Nazarite life, but you do. Lord, keep me in your power in every aspect and in every way. Then we have Jehovah make his face to shine upon you. I'm glad David brought this up. Brothers and sisters, what a privilege. We have the face of the triune God. Amen. Don't look at my face. There's nothing to look at. Look at God's face. Amen. The face of the triune God. Every day we have the privilege of seeing God face to face. Amen. Wow. Jehovah make his face. What is his face? His face is simply his presence. Don't you think, isn't it marvelous that the Lord made our face? And he made them all differently. I can't believe it. What kind of God is this? He's a marvelous God. He could make all, you know, we basically have all the same structure. Ears, eyes, nose. All you five brothers, you just stand up. Just stand up and turn around. Look. Look at their faces. You have to turn around like four living creatures. First face this way, then face this way. Look, yeah, look, then face this way. Look at all their faces. They're just all different. Okay, then face me. Look at that. Marvelous. Look at all the faces. Okay, turn this way. Look, isn't God marvelous? They all have the basic structure, right? Nose, eyes, ears. But all their faces are so different. This shows the exquisiteness of God, right? Our God is so marvelous. Okay, thank you, brothers. God has created us with this kind of face, with all the, don't, you know, I know it's a big matter among the young people, what your face looks like. Wow, that determines the condition of heaven and earth. You wake up in the morning, you have a meeting to go to, oh no, something appeared on my cheek last night, oh no, my whole life is over. So you try everything to get rid of it, pop it, or do all kinds of things, right? Or cover it, or do something. Well, when you're not that happy with your face, look at his face. Amen. Don't get that happy with your face, because if you're that happy with your face, you may not look at his face. Every day, brothers and sisters, we can see him face to face. Amen. This is the blessing. Enjoy. By the Nazarites, that we get to see the Lord's face. The Lord's face means his presence, right? Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What a reward, what a blessing. In this age, we can see God. In the next age, we can see God. In the eternal age, we can see God. Oh, what a privilege as a Nazarite. Every day, we can see God face to face. In fact, I believe there's a translation in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, talking about the bread of the table of his presence. It means face bread. It means face. That means that as we eat Christ, we can eat him. We can see his face. As we enjoy the Lord, we can see him face to face. But it says not only his face, but his face shine upon you. What does this mean? We want the Lord's face to shine upon us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And in 2 Corinthians 4:6, we want to see the Lord face to face. With unveiled face. Unveiled face, beholding and reflecting as a mirror the glory of the Lord. We want to see the Lord's face every day. You know, John, come here. Kyle, come here. You two brothers, John, come up here. We like to have this kind of fellowship with the Lord. Not fellowship with the Lord from a distance. Okay, there's the Lord and here's I am. Well, we may start off, we don't know the Lord as well, so our fellowship with the Lord is like this. We're doing our life, we wake up in the morning, we turn to the Lord, and there he is. Amen, Lord, thank you, Lord, and then we just do our own. We just walk on our own. So, on one hand, we're a Nazarite, but we're just a Nazarite a little. We're a Nazarite wannabe, right? We're a Nazarite junior. We see the Lord face to face, but pretty much our relationship with him is a little farther away. As we go on with the Lord, day by day, step by step, little by little, we want to know the Lord in this way, face to face. Lord, you are so beautiful. Amen. Why? All of a sudden, When we see his face, eventually our face gets changed into his face.
Amen.
We have such face-to-face fellowship that when the Lord, when we see one another, we'll say, Lord, you look like me. And the Lord would say, you also look like me. Why? Because we have been, this is not something miraculous. This is something that has been going on our whole life, day by day. Every day we can see the Lord face to face. Thank you, brothers. Then he goes on to say that Jehovah be gracious to you, right? This is the Lord's grace coming to us. And this is especially found, you can write these verses down in John 1:14, 16, and 17, where we behold his glory. And as we behold his glory, we experience one who is full of grace and reality. Then I love this portion here. In conclusion, it says, Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We have the Father's blessing, we have the sun shining, and we have the Spirit lifting up his countenance. What is his countenance? His countenance is his expression of his feeling, of his person. Right? We don't only want a face. Here, Kyle. We don't want just Kyle's face as the sun. But we also want the Spirit's countenance always favoring us. Let's say I come to Kyle and he gives me an angry face. I'm scared. When we come to... That wasn't a very good anger. That's okay. That's okay. But I should use the example. Let's say Kyle is happy with me, right? So he gives me a good face. Wow! Look at that. He's lifting up his countenance. I feel so blessed. I just feel so blessed. The more he smiles, the more blessed I feel, right? Because the triune God who comes to us as the consummated Spirit, we want him to lift up his countenance. Amen. When we see him face to face, we want him to smile. We like to see him every day lifting up his countenance. We don't want to come to the Lord like this. We want the Lord to lift up his countenance and shine upon us. Every day we can see the Lord in such a way. When he lifts up his countenance, what does this mean? That means he confirms, he assures, he promises, and he gives everything to us. Right? This is coming to the Lord. Right? So we have here, we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit who is blessing us, who is shining upon us, and who is lifting up his countenance. And this is the blessing of the divine Trinity, right, coming to us again and again, day by day. Brothers and sisters, as the Nazarites again, we have the opportunity, the privilege, right, to what? To be under the blessing of the triune God, especially the blessing of his face. We never want to lose the Lord's face. Amen? Marvelous. Okay, I think I'll go ahead and stop here. I wonder, brothers, if we could just sing one song together, and then we would have some reading and some testifying, okay? Could we sing number 30 together? How about that?